Today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him, meaning Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable into your sight. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. And anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. On a bright and sunny day in 1980, March 24th to be exact, in El Salvador, outside the Church of Divine Providence, a car stopped in front of the church. A lone gunman stepped out and rested his rifle on the car door to steady his aim. Peering through the scope, he could see through the open church door, down a long center aisle, and with his sight, he focused on the celebrant of the Mass, Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador. Father Romero was in the middle of Mass, holding up the host, when the gunman pulled the trigger. The crack of the rifle echoed off the buildings. A red disc appeared in the chest of Father Romero. His white vestments began to turn red. He staggered a couple steps before falling. As worshipers screamed, some coming to his aid, some fleeing the panic, a pool of blood widened and colored the now scattered white disc of the host. Oscar Romero's assassin was never captured. A few weeks ago, in Lee County, Alabama, on March 3rd, dark clouds gathered in the sky. It looked like it was going to be a severe spring thunderstorm. No one could have guessed what would soon follow. But soon as the rains fell and the wind picked up, a black swirling funnel dropped down out of the accumulated clouds, and a tornado with winds up to 170 miles an hour descended upon farms and villages and homes. The tornado's path was four times as wide as the average tornado, covering an area of a mile in diameter. Within a matter of minutes, 23 people died. Nearly 2 weeks ago, on March 15th, a 28-year-old Australian and self-proclaimed white supremacist parked outside of two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. And using a semi-automatic weapon, he opened fire upon worshipers as they were going to prayer, men and women and children. Before he was through, 49 worshipers lay dead. A few days later, a 50th worshiper died. Now, in our gospel lesson this morning, we have an instance where Jesus is going to Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, Jesus only goes to Jerusalem in order to meet his fate upon the cross. But as he is going to Jerusalem, a crowd stops him and tells him about Pilate ordering a hit on some Galileans as they were in worship at the temple. And like Romero's blood soaking the host, their blood mingled with the blood of their sacrifices that had just been offered to God. Jesus responded by asking, "Do you think that because these Galileans died in this way that they were worse sinners than other Galileans?" "No, they were no worse. But unless you repent, you will perish as they did." And then Jesus continued, "Or what about the 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell in Jerusalem? Do you think that they were worse offenders, more deserving of dying that day than anyone else living in Jerusalem?" "No, they were not. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." What an odd response. A call to repentance in the face of such horrific events seems so out of place. It is definitely not something that I would say to someone who was grieving or to a community struck by tragedy. Why would Jesus say such a thing? What was Jesus really saying? Why did Luke want to include this story in his gospel? Because Luke was a very careful chronicler of Jesus. He even says so in the first chapter of his gospel. When he says, "As of many people have tried to tell the stories of Jesus, I took all of their stories and spoke to eyewitnesses, and I have assembled this orderly account for you, O Theophilus." Which either means a man named Theophilus, which means lover of God, or a community of faith that loves God. So why did Luke include this story? Jesus did not say that the people killed at the altar or by the fall of the Tower of Siloam did anything wrong. They didn't deserve what happened to them. They were simply minding their own business, going about their own lives, and then suddenly their lives came to an abrupt end. I wonder if Jesus recalled the words of the psalmist. In the 90th Psalm, it says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." You see, life is short and life is uncertain. We do not have limitless time. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. "Seek the Lord while he may be found," our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah says. "Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts." Ordinarily, we think of repentance as turning around, literally making a 180-degree turn on the path in which we are trotting in life, going one direction and turning to go the exact opposite direction. That is the general understanding of what repentance is, but repentance also has a deeper, more subtle meaning. Repentance also means to gain a new point of view, to get a new perspective, to see the world as God sees the world. It is only when we understand this definition of repentance that Jesus' parable of the fig tree makes sense, I believe. In the parable that Jesus told, the fig tree had been planted 3 years before the owner of the vineyard told the gardener to take it down. You have to understand that fig trees bear fruit after 2 years. So this fig tree had an extra year to bear fruit, and yet it was unfruitful. It was obviously, in the opinion of the vineyard owner, taking up good soil that could be used by a fig tree that actually produces fig, actually does what it was created to do. The gardener, though, in the parable, asked for more time. Give it one more year, one more chance to be fruitful. I will dig around it and I will add manure. And if this second chance, it does not bear fruit, then let's cut it down. Now, I do not know how many of you have been watching the NCAA basketball tournaments. Maybe you have a bracket. I filled out a bracket with my grandchildren, and I'm just going crazy because I cannot find my bracket. So I have no idea how I'm doing. But if you've watched any of the basketball games, you have seen upsets, number 12s beating number 5s. You have seen phenomenal comebacks, and you may have even had your heart broken, especially if you were a Bradley fan. The game went one half too long. But as each of you know, each game does have a time limit, 2 20-minute halves. You have to play the second half as well as the first half. But time does expire. James Howell, a Methodist minister, noted that God's greatest gift to each one of us is the gift of time. But each one of us has a limited amount of time before the game of our life comes to an end. We have a limited amount of time in order to do the work that God has placed us in this world to do. There is time for second chances. Some of us do get to have do-overs. And some of us even get to have comebacks. But we don't get more time. The 139th Psalm reminds us that God knows the number of our days before one yet existed. And this eternal truth got me to thinking, especially in light of the gospel lesson. I think the point of this lesson is very simple. The point of this lesson is not about the way in which we die. The point of this lesson is about the way in which we live. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand and join in either reading or reciting the Apostles' Creed. It is printed in your bulletins. Please stand if you are able. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You all may